Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in on a Monday night, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, Cole Pepper, and the general manager here at Jaguars Central, getting ready for another week of preseason coming up. We're looking back on the 15-13 victory over Atlanta on Friday night and talking about the roster and the development of some of the young players and some of the not-so-young players also flashing. And we'll get into all of those, plus we'll take some of your comments and questions. Several ways for you to get involved here. You can do it via Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and then also via Twitter. Just tweet to me, Cole Pepper, and the best ones will get on the air. So always good to get a win, but I think if I know you, you were probably more pleased by what you saw out of the defensive line early on, rather than just the final score.
No question. I thought the defensive line really the entire night kept their offensive line in stressful situations, and I thought we moved the quarterback off the spot well. We'd still like to get him down to the ground, obviously, on a regular basis, but when you're moving him off the spot and you're making him uncomfortable, you're going to get off the field more.
Pretty good test, too, when you talk about an offense. Most of those guys have been to get Julio Jones, obviously a newcomer, but that starting offense has been around, have worked together, have had great success, best record in the NFC last year. Matt Ryan's a top-flight quarterback. When you even though it's the second week and you don't have the kind of game planning, when you're seeing your guys against their guys and it's the best and it's starters, nice to see some good pressure up front.
It really was. We did some good things on Wednesday night in that practice prior to the game. And then in the game itself, you are accurate, Cole. Atlanta had all of their offensive starters the entire first half with the exception of their center, Todd McClure.
All right, so the D-line certainly was the highlight. I want to focus on that here for just a moment because I don't know. That may be as good a D-line performance, you know, all the way across that front line as I remember seeing in quite a while. The game last year against Buffalo, Campman had a huge game, and that was really a stand-up. But you had Mincy, Austin Lane, Alualu, Roth came in, got some good pressure. Knighton was clogging up the middle. It was a pretty complete performance by those, you can't just call them starters, but as you mentioned last week, kind of this group of guys who all are going to play quite a bit on that front line.
That's correct. You have strength in numbers in that position group. One thing about the defensive line, the guys who are up on game day, they're all going to play. It's not like offensive line where you start with five guys and they play the entire game. When you get in the regular season, you'll see seven and eight players playing throughout the game in situational defenses. So this is very encouraging with what we saw against Atlanta.
And one of the other real encouraging signs I thought was Cecil Shorts, who didn't play the first preseason game, was nicked up a little bit, but came right in. And I'm hearing, you hear around town quite a bit, one of the things that the fans say, we need more wide receivers, we need better wide receivers. Well, you watch Cecil Shorts play. Talk about a guy who's polished coming out of a small school. He really, you can tell he's worked on his craft as a wide receiver.
No question. He comes out of a tremendous college program under the leadership of Larry Karras. And then his dad was a coach. And Cecil, having played as a quarterback, as a returner, and as a receiver, he's well-rounded. He's what I would put in a category that we would tag as football player. Mm-hmm. He just knows how to play the game.
And you like his hands. I heard a lot of comparisons after he was drafted and in camp and so forth with Keenan McCardell. Folks around here certainly remember. I think he runs better than McCardell, though, doesn't he?
He does. And you used the word earlier, craft. He worked at his craft. He's a crafty receiver. He's got good savvy running his routes. He knows how to set up defensive backs. He knows how to use his body. And he's got natural hands. And when you get a guy that's catching the ball in front of his eyes consistently, and he's confident catching it away from his body, and you don't hear him catch the ball when you're standing out there, like on the practice fields, you know the guy's got something a little bit different.
Yeah, you don't want a receiver who you know has caught it when you're not watching it, right? You don't want to hear thud. He just kind of cushions it in there. The one play I know he'll learn from quite a bit was the end around, and he said he kind of took a peek and knew that. But that's what the preseason's about, getting these young guys in situations. Certainly the speed of the game for him is a big thing, a big adjustment, because although Mountain Union's a terrific program at their level, he's not seeing the speed on a day-to-day basis that he'll see in the NFL.
No question. And the nice thing about Cecil playing in a program like that, he's played a long schedule, like Division III, Division II, and 1AA has a playoff system, and they've basically been in the national championship game almost every year he's been there. So he's played a long season, but the speed is certainly different. So I certainly agree with that. The one thing Atlanta had was a good defensive call on a couple of our plays. Brian Van Gorder did a good job of selecting the right defense. So we should not have fumbled that football, but it would have been a no-gainer probably from the get-go.
All right, so let's talk about, you mentioned the fumble, the interception early, the two things that probably most folks, boy, you don't want to see the turnovers, and obviously we've talked in the past about how important winning that turnover battle is.
It really is. I mean, last year we ended up 31st in the NFL in turnover differential. And the one thing I did like when we turned the ball over, our defense went out there with their backs against the wall and did a good job of shutting down really an explosive offense. So I felt very good about that.
Now let's talk about the quarterback play. What did you see? How did it look overall to you? Second game in, first game for a couple of guys, but you've seen the top three, Garrard, Gabbert, and McCown, all playing, got some pretty extensive playing time.
They really did. You know, I thought Luke played the best in the situation that he was in. I thought David and Blaine did some good things, but we never got into sync really with what we were doing, I think, offensively. And, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement. And certainly the offense is typically behind the defense in their play in the preseason. And we've got a couple weeks here to certainly get better at what we do on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, so far, you know, camp is broken now. The guys are out of hotels, back home. Everybody's happy about that and ready to look forward. You've got some cuts to make following this game, this third game coming up on Saturday. So who's had the best first couple of weeks here? Who's really stood out to you? Who do you think maybe has either gone past the expectations or has just looked very good to your eye?
Well, there's a number of players. You know, I said from the start, Will Rackley came in and played like he belonged. He's secured that left guard spot for us. Paul Posluszny, from the day he's been here, he's brought burst, speed, range from the middle of the field, because he'll be aligning primarily over the ball. And with Terrence and Tyson in front of him, he'll have an opportunity to run downhill and make a lot of tackles for us in our front. But there's been a number of guys. Those are two, you know, I would say that to me have stuck out.
How's Mathis been in camp?
I thought he's done a good job.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, if you're the left corner and they're not throwing the ball your way, or we've rotated a number of players, you know, in the secondary, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities. But I thought for the ones that he had thus far in training camp, he's done an outstanding job.
All right, those are some of the highlights that we'll touch on here in the first segment. Coming up a little bit later on, your chance to win accolades now and stuff during the regular season, a chance for you to take a look at the unsung player, the scout's eye. You can win simply by either posting on the Facebook page or by Twitter, and all the correct answers for who Gene will select as the scout's eye unsung player will be our winner this week. Last week, it was Bosworth who was your pick as the unsung player, and then he got the start for Clint Session. I'm not saying that has anything to do with it, but, you know, hey, listen, the unsung player, it's been noticed by others, by other folks, and how did his promotion, a temporary as it may be, go for the Boz?
Well, he did a good job. He stacked a couple good performances. We've got a number of young linebackers competing really for the backup roles in this football team, and who makes the team is really going to be dictated a lot on how they perform on special teams. If you can get in the game day 46, especially as a defensive player, it's really going to help your cause.
All right, we'll come back and take some of your questions and comments via Facebook and Twitter, as well as your picks for the Scouts Eye Unsung Player. Who do you think was the guy who didn't necessarily make the big play, got all the highlights, but guy who needs some accolades for the way he played against the Falcons in the 15-13 Jaguars victory. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Cole Pepper here at Jaguars Central. Time for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Good news on the injury report. All the starters practiced this week except for Evan Britton. Deji Kareem had a blow to the head and has been held out a bit. But it does look like Chris Przinski could be getting back here shortly, the draft pick out of Wyoming, who has been held out with some injuries. What are you expecting out of Przinski in the preseason?
Well, my hope is that his time away won't be a bad thing, that the mental reps that he got from being in the meetings, studying film, certainly observation out on the practice field, that he'll step right in and take off. So he is a smart guy. He is an instinctive guy. He is a fast guy, but the mind triggers the muscle. So until he has everything down, he's not going to be able to maximize his talent. I hope he can do it in a hurry, because he'd be a nice guy to add into our defense.
And talk a little bit about him as a player, because folks haven't had a chance to see him much at all, even at training camp when they were out there, and no OTAs and no preseason games so far. But he's kind of a rangy guy. I mean, he's a cover a lot of ground safety.
Yeah, he's a big safety. He played strong and free in college. He's got a tremendous career at Wyoming, and he's big. I mean, he's 6'1 and a half. He's 210 pounds. He ran high 4.3s, low 4.4s, and his speed's evident on film. So he's not just a workout guy. I mean, this guy was a productive player in college. And again, I feel like once he gets his mind right in terms of knowing the scheme well, because with safeties you got to be able to anticipate, I think his talent would transfer to the field in terms of production.
Is there a lot of responsibility going to be on him as a free safety, being back there and kind of directing things, or with Landry, being a veteran, or Courtney Green, does more of that fall on one of those guys?
Well, really, it's more so your free safety, but we've done different things. You can play a true strong and free safety scheme, or you can play left and right safety, which sometimes is a good thing because all the formation adjustments that you'll have pre-snap. But the free safety typically is like the quarterback of the defense. He's got to be able to assert himself with good voice inflection. And like you said, Cole, direct the traffic back there and make the checks accordingly. And he's a guy that, from the neck up, can certainly do that.
All right, also, as a quick thing on NFL news, and we'll get to some of these Twitter questions. The supplemental draft was held today. And the supplemental draft doesn't work exactly like the regular draft. Teams have to put in bids on players based on where they would pick them in a particular round. The only player who was selected was Terrell Pryor by the Raiders in the third round. A little higher than I think a lot of folks were expecting Pryor to go. Terrific athlete, though, and we've seen that on the college level. Any thoughts on Pryor and the road he has now with the Raiders?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that the Raiders drafted him. Here's a player that has a tremendous physical skill set. I don't know how he'll be utilized there, if he'll start out as a quarterback and stay as a quarterback. I don't know that. But he was the one guy out of the six players in the supplemental draft that did get drafted, and he got drafted high. And they'll lose their third-round pick in the 2012 draft.
You know, and it's interesting. I did a little looking back at some former drafts to see the Raiders had the 18th pick in the supplemental draft as they did during the regular draft. And so it doesn't necessarily mean they'll be picking 18th if they lose the 18th pick of the third round next year. But looking back on some of the 18th picks of the third round over the past 10 years, you get a pretty wide range of success stories or lack thereof. Chris Cooley, the tight end from Washington, certainly was a good pick. Carolina taking Ricky Manning, the cornerback, certainly has played quite a bit. Early Doucette from Arizona. Then you've got guys who, names I didn't even know. I mean, you knew a couple of them. Oh, this guy's UFL. This guy's a backup. Some of these things, but you see a lot of hits and you see a lot of misses in the third round and beyond in the NFL.
You do, and we were 14th in the process today in terms of our draft order. And, you know, the guys who aren't drafted typically have a chance to be signed because they're free agents.
Yep.
And I know a few of those guys will show up in camp here shortly.
Yeah, Caleb King, by the way, for the Georgia fans, running back, is signed with the Vikings, according to a report just out here recently. All right, you can continue to get in your picks for the Scout's Eye Unsung Player this week. See if you can pick out the guy who Gene has targeted as the unsung performer. And you can do that either on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, or via Twitter. You can just tweet it to me, Colepepper, Colepepper, and get that one in. Let's get some questions from both Facebook and from Twitter. Joe, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, let's get social with CopyFex. Our question of the night comes from Daniel Gene. He says, thank you for all your hard work as you put that you put in trying to make the Jaguars a championship contender for years to come. Which new acquisition would you expect to make the most immediate impact? Posluszny, Landry, or a rookie like Will Rackley?
Well, appreciate the comments by Daniel. I would say Paul Posluszny. Paz has come in here, and he's at a position where he should make an impact. The middle linebacker, the 4-3 scheme, should be a tackling machine, and he's certainly capable of doing some great things for us this year. So I would say Paz.
Got a question on Twitter, and I'm going to make a little interpretation on this question, asking if it's likely the Jaguars will keep all three quarterbacks on the final roster. I think the change in the rules is probably going to see most teams in the NFL keeping three quarterbacks on the roster. You no longer have that emergency quarterback spot that's automatically inactive for game day. You expect to see, whether it's the Jags or anybody else, everybody going with three?
Well, if we have three in our top 53, we'll always keep three. I can't say that there'll be a trend of teams keeping three because of a game day 46 now, the way it's set up with the new rules. You may keep two and put one on the practice squad. We've done that here before. I feel like we do have three guys that certainly are deserving of being on a 53 here or anywhere in the NFL.
Back to Facebook. Jeffrey says, Taylor Mays seems to be underappreciated in Frisco. Could he make an impact on our defense? Would you consider a deal to bring him here?
Well, I don't want to discuss a player that's under contract with another team, but I'm always open-minded to listening to what other teams have to offer.
All right, another one from Twitter. How has the Landry-Green combo looked so far? Talking about the safety position.
Well, I think so far with where we're at, for the period of time they've had a chance to work together, it's been good. The one thing, when you play your sub-packages, you use different personnel for different formations in different situations in the game. I think the one thing about Przinski and Landry and Green, the three safeties can play with multiple corners in one of our sub packages to where we have, better speed and space players on the field in our game situations. So it gives us some flexibility having multiple defensive backs to use in coverage.
Back to Facebook from Justin. It seems tackling is less of an issue this year. Why is that?
Well, I think you are what you emphasize. I think Mel Tucker and the defensive staff has done a good job of really emphasizing tackling and how to tackle, the technique of it. I think they've also emphasized stripping at the ball, creating turnovers. So far, there's been some very good things that have shown up in those two areas on our defense.
All right, some of your questions and comments will continue here via Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or on Twitter as well. It is time now for Gene Smith to announce the Scout's Eye Unsung Player. There's the Scout's Eye, eagle-eyed from high above. Who is your unsung player from the 15-13 victory over the Falcons?
It's fullback Greg Jones. Greg was an explosive run blocker. He blocks well in pass protection. He's a guy who did make the tackle after the interception. Mm-hmm. Maurice Jones-Drew does lead us in tackles after turnovers, but Greg is second, and he was an all-state linebacker on the field versus the Falcons, which is what he was coming out of South Carolina when he signed with Florida State. And he is the cousin of Smokin' Joe Frazier. So he knows how to pack a punch.
There you go. So, brings the historical perspective to the Scout's Eye Unsung Player. We had no correct answers on that. We had a lot of good guesses, but nobody got Greg Jones this week. Maybe that's sort of the way it is with him. You sort of just expect him. He's steady. Shows up every year, every game, does his thing, and doesn't ask for a bunch of attention or anything else, but we give it to him here today. All right, we'll take time out when we come back. We take a dip into the gene pool, take a look at the strong safety position and what sort of template you should have for that position, plus more of your comments and questions. Plus, still to come, we'll look forward to the matchup against the Bills as the Jaguars get set to head to the land of chicken wings. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Cole Pepper here at Jaguars Central along with Joe Fortunato as we look back on the 15-13 victory over the Falcons. We look ahead to the matchup against the Bills. We'll talk more about that game here in a bit. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sunny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Let's take a dip into the gene pool. We break down the players, the positions, and what the scouts are looking for. And this week, Gene, we're looking at the strong safeties. According to my highly subjective, in-depth research, using all safeties, 5'10s in average height, 195, 4.55 for speed. But the strong safety is usually bigger, and the free safety is usually faster. What are you looking at for an average size for these guys?
Well, coming out of the scouting combine a year ago, it was 5'11", 6". So that's 5'11", and 6". So it's 5'11¾", 208 pounds, and the average 40 was 4.65, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Now, a pro strong safety is 6002, so that's 6'1/4", 207 pounds, running a 4.56. Some of these safeties will not run as fast on the watch as you think, but they get a jump on the ball because they got great instinct and anticipation.
All right, so instinct is one thing. You either have it or you don't. Anticipation, I think you can develop, can't you?
I think you can develop some of that through your film study, for sure. I think safeties have to be very disciplined with their eyes, because otherwise you can get caught halfway between nowhere. And by that I mean if you get too nosy against play action, sometimes they can sneak a ball over top of you. But the strong safety is a bigger body. You're accurate in that assessment. And it's a guy that's a tempo center in the run game. I mean, that's what your hope is. And then he's also a guy who has a good feel for underneath routes, especially in zone. He'll match up some with the tight end, sometimes in a cover down situation with an inside receiver. But you know, that strong safety, he's got to be an additional linebacker on the field against the run.
Do you expect different things out of a strong safety in a 4-3 versus a 3-4? You know, you talk about having an extra linebacker, and you've got that extra linebacker in the 3-4. Jaguars have been a 4-3 defense since the beginning, other than a little dabbling here and there. So do you have a different expectation?
Well, I think it's probably more valuable in our scheme. Really, that the strong safety is an undersized, faster, and more athletic linebacker, you know, out on the field. And like I said, we can do it a couple ways. We can play left and right, because in the NFL, the ball is typically in the middle of the field all the time.
Yep.
If you can't run in college, sometimes we'll have a boundary safety or a boundary corner. In the NFL, everybody gets exposed. But this guy's going to line closer to the line of scrimmage the majority of times, and he's going to be more active against the run, and like I said, underneath coverage. And the free safety is going to be an over-top, middle-of-the-field type guy in coverage.
How about the non-measurables? What kind of personality traits or football approaches do you want to see out of a strong safety?
Well, you want a guy that likes contact. And then certainly, a good strong safety will make his presence felt. Receivers will have their head on the swivel on in-breaking routes. They'll be looking for that number. Some of the receivers will. And we had a darn good one here for a long time in Donovan Darius. And Donovan is all of the above of what I just described. Here's a guy that was 6007. He was 213 pounds, ran 4.46 coming out of Syracuse. And he certainly was a contact player.
Yeah, I think famous now in Jacksonville, Dick Geron quote from that day. We were doing our draft coverage when they drafted Donovan Darius, and he said he's a guy who will bring violence to the backfield. And he did. I mean, but there he would absolutely come in and lay the wood. There's no doubt about it. So in our Who is Best segment, part of this segment, whether you want to say the best out there now, the best you've scouted, the best of all time, who is best at strong safety?
I would say the best right now in the league is Troy Polamalu with Pittsburgh. He was 5'10", 203, and ran 4.42 coming out, and he still has excellent speed. He's certainly a contact player. Mm-hmm. So I would say, in the NFL today, it's him.
You talk about instincts and anticipation. He seems to have both of those, filled up both columns, although he definitely has instincts for the game, but his anticipation is something that you see him on goal line or short yardage, diving over the middle and making play. I mean, it's remarkable. So he's almost got a sixth sense about things.
Right. I think the ball finds him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it usually sticks in his hands when it does. All right, that's our dip into the gene pool this week. Next week, we'll look at the strong side linebacker and see how the scouts take a look at that position. We'll do that next week. I want to talk a little bit about this week's game and what we'll see, including because the third preseason game typically is one where we see game planning, we see the starters play the most. What kind of a chance will backups have to prove themselves this week, especially those guys that are fighting for that bottom of the roster roster spots and with the first line of cuts coming up? What kind of opportunity do they have?
Well, again, they'll play in the second half quite a bit. Plus, a lot of those players are going to make the roster on special teams. So they won't have as many snaps on offense or defense that may be considered as much as their special team value at this point. I do think, Cole, you're going to see something different this year because of 90 players in camp. I think the first preseason game, there were a lot of teams that did not play their frontline starters very much or at all. And I think you'll see those teams playing their starters even into the fourth game this year, okay, which will be a little bit different. So you'll see them play more, obviously, this coming Saturday night. And then going into the fourth game, I don't want to speak for Jack, but I think around the league, you'll see some starters probably play more in that fourth game than the norm.
Is that impacted at all by the lack of the off-season time, the OTAs and so forth?
I think it is, yeah. The period of time where we did not have any OTAs or mini camps, and then, like I said, 90 in camp with the new practice rules because of the new CBA, there's less time on the field, more players, and you had the lockout period. So I do think the preseason, these next couple games, you'll see a lot of the starters playing.
There does not appear to be a large number of starting position battles going on with this team at this point, but there's a lot of really interesting position battles that are, you know, within position groups for backup jobs and so forth. And one of the ones that really catches my eye is the wide receiver battle, and that's one we've talked, I think, about each of the last couple of weeks. Armin Benz caught the touchdown pass on a less than artistic play, perhaps, from the get-go, but hey, it counts in the scorebook. When a guy catches a touchdown pass, does that help him? Yet Inman got a nice first down catch. Dillard had a third down conversion. Guys making a play like that, a key play, does that help a lot as far as their cause?
Well, when we look at a guy catching a ball, whether it's just a regular reception or a touchdown reception, it's something that we look at how the catch was made. Was it a contested situation? We really look for contested production across the board with all players. We're also looking for a receiver, his release. We're looking for him at the top end of his routes, how he gets in and out of his breaks and can separate from a defender. We're looking for how they block. There are so many things. Will he go inside to catch the ball? So it's not any one thing. It's a lot of things when you're looking at a receiver or any other player, but certainly something he does exceptionally well that is eye-catching garners interest.
And that's when you start trying to figure out who those last couple of guys are on the roster, or the fifth or sixth wide receiver, what have you, all the things that go into it. All right, we'll take time out, come back, take a look ahead to the matchup with the Bills, talk about the key matchups to watch in that ball game, and see what the third and, usually most important preseason game has in store for the Jaguars. You can become a part of the Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, live from Jaguars Central. Cole Pemper here with the general manager. Final segment, want to talk a little bit about the game coming up. We touched on some of the differences in Game 3 in the preseason versus Game 2, and maybe Game 3 this year versus Game 3 in the past. Seeing a Bills team that is trying to get things put together, obviously they've had a lot of change. They're certainly in a rebuilding process at this point. Last year, up in Buffalo, we mentioned that was a game that Campman had the huge game, but a lot of people may not remember that there was a scare early on there. They were up, 13-6 or 16-3, something like that. And it was 10-0 early on before David started getting things going, hit Mercedes a couple of times, and Mike Sims-Walker, and Scobie had a big game. How good is this Bills team, and what kind of a test will this be on Saturday?
Well, I think it'll be a good test. I mean, it's a team that we played last year. I know Chan Gailey and Buddy Nix up in Buffalo. Buddy's the GM, and obviously Chan is the head coach. They're in transition with their roster. But there's some talent on that team, and there'll be some situations in the game that the fans will be able to really lock in and look at some of the key matchups.
Yeah, and thinking about quarterback situations and everything else, looks like they're settling on Ryan Fitzpatrick for now. Chan Gailey is such a good offensive mind. I mean, he's as creative an offensive guy as you'll find. Going to be interesting because Fitzpatrick has kind of an interesting collection of abilities. He's not he's an Ivy Leaguer, and he moves around pretty well. Doesn't have a cannon for an arm, but he's made some throws downfield, puts a lot of air under it. Kind of an interesting difference from Matt Ryan, who the Jaguars saw this past week, who's your prototypical stand in the pocket and make the throws kind of quarterback.
No question. And, I think offensively they've got some receivers on the outside that have started to emerge. They have a couple running catch tight ends. They certainly got kind of a pounder running back in Fred Jackson, and C.J. Spiller is kind of a make-you-miss guy that I know they'd like to feature this year. And then offensive line-wise, Eric Woods has moved from guard to center. And they've tried to do some things in their offensive line to strengthen their unit. And I feel like they'll be much improved on offense.
During the regular season, we'll talk about some specific key matchups. Probably doesn't make as much sense to spend time on that during the preseason, but are there some specific areas for the Jaguars you would like to see that you'll be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I mean, Guy Wimper will get a chance to block their number one pick, Marcell Dareus. Mm-hmm. You'll see Kyle Williams inside matching up against Uche Nwori and Brad Meester, and maybe he plays some over Will Rackley. I mean, there'll be some things that we'll be looking at. They certainly have two outside linebackers that they feel very good about in Kelsey and Merriman. And Merriman started the preseason off well. So
is he looking like the lights-out Sean Merriman of old?
Well, I mean, he's looked better than he has. He's played through some injuries, and I feel like at least Buffalo feels he's got a lot left, and he has shown it in their early preseason play. So, you know, there'll be some areas where we can see good contested situations to make proper evaluations from.
I'm certain you'd like to see some more touchdowns put up on the board by the offense.
Yeah, and I think when you look around the NFL, there's been a number of offenses that haven't scored as much as maybe what people would have thought. But again, the offense is usually behind the defense early in the preseason. I feel like these next 2 weeks, some of these offenses will start generating more points.
Are we starting to figure out the impact that this new kickoff rule is going to have? We touched on a little bit last week, but I wonder if you're going to see teams try to be more strategic with that. You know, kicking off from the 35, and is it just, you know, if it's a good weather game, or if it's in a dome, something like that. Most kickers in the NFL now can get in the end zone and 5 yards deep, you know, with decent regularity. And a guy like Scobie can do it just about every time if he wants to. Are we seeing teams start to experiment with that a little bit?
Oh, I think you are. Like I said last week, you'll see some teams now bring the ball out, you know, from 5 yards deep if they have a legitimate returner. Mm-hmm. You'll also see if a team has a good placement kickoff guy who can get good hang, they may put it inside the five on the numbers and try to hold a team under the 20-yard line. But I feel overall what's going to eventually happen, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think the ball will be placed at the 25 at some point, and that's how they'll start the game. That's how they'll start at the second half, and that's how they'll start after every score.
Just put the ball there, no kickoff, just put it there and have them off and running. Had a question here on Twitter wanting to hear your thoughts on Matt Turk. Thought Turk had a terrific game on Friday night.
He did some very good things, for sure. He held well, not just punted well. I know the one Kasim Osgood would like to have back,
yep.
Because he allowed that one to go into the end zone. But the fact that Matt put him in a position to hopefully down it at the one was a good thing. So that was very encouraging.
And I know that's something that having the best special teams in the league is a goal. You've talked about wanting to have, if you can dominate on special teams, that you can win a game or two or three, and you can certainly lose a bunch if you have bad special teams.
No question, and that's one phase where we do have a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that area there could be as strong as any phase we have on our football team.
All right, next week, coming up on Saturday, rather, the third preseason game, 7 o'clock for kickoff from Ralph Wilson Stadium, 4 o'clock for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show, and you can hear Brian Sexton's conversation with Gene as part of our pregame coverage on the side of the pregame show. Starter's going to play quite a bit more, as expected, and then the first line of cuts from 90 down to, is it 80 this year?
80 this year, that's correct.
So you 10 players will be cut after the game on Saturday. And then it's a quick turnaround for a Thursday night game to wrap up the preseason. So it's going to be a quick week next week. We'll be back here on Monday to talk about things once again with the General Manager, Gene. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you, Joe.
That's the General Manager, Gene Smith. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. And good night from Jaguar Central.